Quick question.
Oh, yeah, what?
If your wife was murdered.
Okay.
Would. Hold on. Terrible thought. We love Daisy.
Yeah, yeah.
Should, God forbid, something happen to her, would her family describe you as a possible suspect?
I think the fact that I'm hesitating is an automatic yes.
I think Natalie could die of like totally natural causes, and some people in her family would be like, Bobby did it.
Without hesitation.
She could like overturn her car on the freeway and they'd be like, you know what? You better check him. He might have flipped it over.
Yeah, I would say no, but I think some of them would give me the side eye.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But just okay, so like, what about like when someone, because this is the thing, with Nat and I were watching like all these, you know, murder shows like 48 Hours or whatever. You know what's fucking amazing? There are more women snapped shows on like the ID channel, Discovery, True TV, than animal shows on any network. And there's got to be way more types of animals than women. But somehow there's more women snapping than animals doing stuff in the world. Anyways, so this guy, I felt like he was innocent. And but he wasn't able to go to like the funeral and stuff because it was a bad look because his family was describing to the police him as a suspect.
Oh, wow.
And then I started to think and I looked over at my wife and I go, you know, your family would describe me as a suspect if something happened. Like if you got shot in the ATM, they would definitely think. By the way, if anybody in my family ever got shot by an ATM, that's not how I would do it. Don't go back to this episode and say. Say like he described exactly how he would do it because
it's kind of the conversation of like, oh, something happened to Nat, Bobby did it.
Yeah, that's how.
Yeah, okay, I can see that happening. Yeah, it's very you
that I would do it or be suspected. Yeah, right.
People always just expect the worst out of you.
I could see myself like being totally arrested, laying down, and be like, it just makes sense. It makes sense. This is my life.
Yeah, like I see you be like Epstein killed himself, but it also could have been motion. So, right? We're just saying he's not a suspect.
Oh, the camera didn't work. Podcast.
Oh shit! Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to downtown. We're going to downtown. They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now. Podcast, how you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social
Nuisance! Oh, yeah, what the fuck is up?
Yeah, Social Nuisance Podcast.
Pound Town!
Hello, and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current, requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and want to be a short sponsor, you could drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. Drop a dollar and we'll shout out whatever it is you wanted to see. My name's Magic, and joining me as always, a man who has a dog continuously mistaken for reindeer.
Yeah, no shit. Okay. Dude, I want to, so to the listeners, every time you hear that, it's my dog's chain, and he gets hot spots, and he itches away, and I know it sounds like Santa's landing on my roof every time he gets, and he won't leave my side, he just sits right here, and he just fucking stares at me, and he's probably like second biggest fan of the podcast. Shout out to Bailey.
Yeah, thanks for the views, man. You're getting that ad money because of Bailey.
Yeah, no shit. I put me on whenever I leave the house to make him feel better.
Oh, you just don't continue with my episode one. Yeah, we're not doing the show for a continuing conversation. We're just doing the show for the dog so he doesn't feel lonely.
Yeah, no, yeah, this is all a ploy to keep my dog occupied. My dog and my short dog, right? So
how's it going, man? How's it been?
Oh, man, dude, I've got... okay, I'm going to tell you a story of how... when did we record? Last week we recorded early. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday, but the show goes out on Friday. Let me start a story. Actually, it goes back a few days before Friday. All right. So, on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm not sure, we're driving up to Simi Valley to do a job. And there on the side of the hill is a smiley face burned into the hill. And it looks, you know, I'm like, I post it jokingly like, they're here, y'all. Like, it's a crop circle.
Oh, that was actually your picture. I thought it was like a meme you found.
No. I saw it on the side of a hill on the way to Simi Valley.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got to go back a couple days before that.
Got it.
A friend of mine, do you remember at the wedding, there was a friend of mine who is in a motorcycle club. Maybe the motorcycle club can come out later. I don't think it's important, but it's really not my story to tell. So, do you remember there was a gentleman in a cut? He's actually been on our show before, Spade.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so he actually talked about the club. So anyways, he's in the Mongols. He talked about the club on our episode, so it's okay for me to talk about it. But he had said, I posted that smiley face, and he had said, oh yeah, I saw one on the freeway the other day. I hadn't seen him in a year. He drove by me on the freeway a couple days earlier, and we're all waving and like, I miss you, man. So he was saying that he's seen aliens on the freeway. That same trip, my business partner goes, hey, dude, I got a gig that I need done in Vegas. When's the next time you're going? I was like, I can go whenever I want. I can go this weekend. Shit. And I called and booked a room for free. They're right there on the spot. So these three things are together, okay?
Yeah, following.
Friday, I take off. I meet Natalie in Victorville. We hop in the car. We're driving. We're making great time. By like 5 o'clock, we're passing Baker, right?
Nice.
The serpentine belt and the Beamer breaks.
Oh, no.
So we're pulled over on the side of the road. It's like 115, dude. It's just me, Nat, and Bilbo Baggins, the dog. Jingle. I don't know if you heard he was actually doing it right now. I'm sure you'll hear it in the episode later.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I hope you don't spend too much time in post trying to get rid of that, because I know it's throughout the fucking I'm sorry about that. So,
no, we're leaving him. It's cool.
So we call AAA, and they're like, hey, dude, AAA is not going to be there till like 8 o'clock. And we're like,
fuck that.
Yeah.
We're not going.
Hey, we'll get there right when the sun goes down. So I start calling mechanics in Baker. And I got a mechanic ready to go. He's like, I close at 9. If you guys get in here an hour before that, I'll get you back on the road. It's no big deal. Of course, the tow truck doesn't get there till, you know, like 9 o'clock. Because of coronavirus, get this, dude, the tow truck that shows up is a flatbed. And the guy's like, hey, y'all got to stay in your car.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So we're in the back of a flatbed bouncing around like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura. Remember that part where he's like bouncing around like this?
Yeah, part two.
And they zoom out and he's just on the... So, all right, let me know when it gets unbelievable. We get dropped off.
Isn't that illegal?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
For sure it's not safe.
Yeah.
It's like being at the end of something dangerous because at the beginning, the motions aren't that big. You know, like a teeter-tot, like the further out you go, the motions are huge. So he would hit a pebble and we would hit our heads on the ceiling. So then he drops us off the auto shop. The guy's gone. By now, it's a chill 110, 108, you know, by 9 o'clock.
What does a chill 110 feel like?
Continue. It's 110 that you have to deal with, that there's no other option. You're like, it's not that bad, but it's terrible. So it's like 9, 10 o'clock. And now, because of coronavirus, again, nothing is open where you can go inside. So we're like stuck at our car. And get this, a little bit of 411 for people who take the 15 North. Baker has no hotels. I thought we could just get a room somewhere and get the car to the guy in the morning, be back on the road. No big deal, right? Two shakes of a lamb's tail. No, yeah. Dude. We're stuck outside in the heat with the dog and nowhere to stay. So I'm like, fuck. Worst case scenario, we're going to have to sleep in the car. But I check and it's like by 8 a.m., it's going to be back up over 110. Ooh. I'm like, we're going to fucking die, dude. For sure the dog's going to die. So,
at the very least.
Yeah, right? So we're like, I'm at gas stations. I'm like hiking up my pant leg, throwing the thumb out, talking to people like, hey, I know how stupid this sounds in this time of day, this, you know, with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
We'll wear masks. We'll shut the fuck up. You want us to talk? We'll talk. I'll make you laugh. Whatever it takes. Can we please get a ride at least to Prim? Because Prim was open. And that's only like 20, 30 minutes. But if you're going into Vegas, I'll roll with you to Vegas. Like, it would be great.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, get the fuck out of here. It actually made me truly reevaluate the lengths at which I'm going to help someone should that arise in my opposite, should the shoe be on the other foot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, if I came across you, especially in the time of COVID, it'd be a hard no.
Yeah.
But if it was just not in the time of COVID and I saw you and Natalie and the dog, I'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah. That's how it was. Like, up until 2 a.m, I made sure all three of us were together. It's like, hey, look, we're not crazy, but we're just in a bad situation. Unfortunately, with where we were, it was mostly people going south because we were like the first exit going south, the last exit going north. So most people going north had already got back on the freeway.
Right.
So, so we're stuck, dude. It's like 1 a.m, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. All of a sudden, like 30 fucking bikes go by us and stop at that last gas station in Baker. And I was like, damn, dude, check that out. And Nat goes, babe, those were Mongols. And in my head, I'm like, Spade could get us a ride even if he's not with them. So I text him, hey, homeboy, are you in Baker? And he texts me back, yeah, WTF. I'm like, I call him like, hey, homeboy, I'm running up to you right now. You know, I run up to him. He's like, what's up, dude? What's going on? I was like, the car broke down, dude. We're fucking stuck. Is there any way we could ride in with anybody here? And he's like, yeah, I got 2 open seats in my truck. Go get your wife. Go get your dog. Hop in.
Oh, nice.
3 a.m, dude. The Mongols saved the day. Hop in the truck with them. They get us to Vegas. There's actually more stuff that happened in the meanwhile, but I don't want to say that. But I'll tell you off air, and if anybody really wants to know, they can message me. But it got hype, bro. We had a hell of a time. Safely get to fucking Vegas. From Vegas, they're like, hey, dude, our train stops here. Y'all got to get off. I was like, thank you so much. Cool. We got like a little 15-minute lift to our hotel. Boom, in. So it's like 4 a.m. now. We get into the hotel. Everybody's checking temperatures. And I'm telling the guy, like, hey, bro, I hope it doesn't lie, but my temperature might lie because I've been stuck in Baker for almost 12 hours. It's 120. I don't know what the fuck my skin temperature is right now. And I'm telling him what's going on. And he's like, oh, okay, sorry, man. You know, yeah, don't worry about that. Here's your key to your room. And it's the top floor corner suite. So we're what? So then we go up. He upgraded us and shit. The fucking suite was balling. We ended up having a great time kicking it there because we were carless. We had to rent a car to get back home. But other than that, it was all right. So, the seeing an alien on the 91, my homie Spade, all ties in because where he ran into us was in Baker, which is the home of Alien Fresh Jerky. It's like the alien capital of California.
The aliens helped out in this situation is what you're trying to say.
No, I think I'm an alien.
Oh, okay.
I think Spade was right from day one.
And so, total sense. You know, they're trying to build a hotel in Baker.
We actually saw it. It's not ready, unfortunately.
Yeah, the alien jerky guy is trying to make an alien themed hotel.
Yeah, we saw it. We actually walked by it trying to hitch a ride. It's pretty dope. It's dope. It looks like an alien spaceship. Like the whole hotel. There can't be that many rooms, maybe 15 rooms or something. But it looks dope, dude. Like, I'm going to be stoked about it.
That's gonna be great. I'm gonna shoot a music video there. I can't wait.
Oh yeah, for real?
I'm gonna make it happen.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Can I hold the camera? No, I was terrible at holding the camera. Just let me know so I can go.
Okay, cool.
But how was your week, bro?
It was hot as fuck.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Yeah, tell me about it. I was stuck on the side of the road in Baker. Oh, here's something else.
Yeah.
CHP came up to us when we were stuck and he's like, if you guys need anything, just call 911. All right, cool, man. Thanks. So then, like, at, like, 12 or 1, I start calling CHP. I start calling San Bernardino County Sheriff. And they're like, hey, dude, you're safe. There's nothing we can do for you. I was like, I'm safe because it's 2 in the morning. At 7 in the morning, we're going to be dead, bro.
like they have anything better to do, you know?
That's how I felt. You're already going up this way anyways.
In the middle of the night, you know, just put me in the back of the patrol car, something I'm familiar with anyways.
So I changed my stance. Hashtag defund them all. Fuck them. I don't give a shit. They're not there to help anyways. Oh, here's the other thing. Have you tried calling 911 lately? It just rings.
Oh, no.
Yeah, actually, so someone told me about that. I tried it. They don't answer, and they don't call back. They don't give a fuck.
That's awful, man.
Defund them all. Take it all away. I don't give a shit.
Where's all this money going? Take it all.
You're on your own. If you ever need help, you better hope the fucking Mongols come by because they're the only ones that are going to do it.
That's pretty crazy, man. My week was definitely not that eventful, just dealing with the heat. But if anyone is dealing with any type of defunding, it's going to be Netflix.
Why? What's going on with them?
Netflix has been receiving flack for having the French film Cuties on the service. You've been seeing this going around on social media?
No, I haven't. I don't even know what Cuties is. Teach me. So
Cuties is a coming-of-age story centered around an 11-year-old girl who finds a group of friends in dance. That's the essential premise of the film.
Okay, but the French are weird, so tell me where it gets weird.
So there's a lot of outcries in regards to pedophilia. A lot of sexualization of young women, or in this case, young girls. I mean, they're 11 years old. You know, they're preteens. Not even that, maybe even fucking tweens. And there's just a lot of concerns about the sexualization imagery of these young girls, and especially in the promotional imaging, the film itself. So there's been like a huge outcry to pull the film, boycott Netflix, petition signings, so on and so forth. And a lot of the issues have been centered around a single promotional photo that Netflix is using to promote the film in the United States.
Okay.
Whereas in France, their promotional materials does not have the girls as provocatively imaged in their promotional material.
I'm looking up this poster now.
Yes. So the one that everyone's talking about is the four girls dressed up in what appears to be some type of like cheerleading outfits.
The blue and black?
Sure.
Okay.
And their poses.
I don't see it, man.
Keep it in mind that they're all 11 years old.
Thank you for reminding me. They look like American gladiators, but
they look like they're about to kick some ass.
Yeah, they do. They look like the Nitro, Tupac.
If I recall correctly, you have one in like a twerking pose. You have one that's on all fours.
There's one twerking, one squatting. One's got the like, hey, with their hand up.
Oh, yeah, the squatting, but it's a side image of what like Lil Kim, Lil Kim's cover album.
Yeah.
Album cover was.
But that, shout out to Lil Kim. That changed my life. I think that was probably the first time I ever masturbated to African American.
But everyone's really concerned about how this is being portrayed.
Now, does the movie sexualize these people, or are they just worried about the promo?
In some aspects. So I watched the trailer of the film just so I can get a better idea, not judge it just off the cover in one single image.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had a chance to watch the movie. I think the movie is not even out yet. I think it's for a future release. But I watched the trailer. It looks like, a coming-of-age story for an 11-year-old girl who's like trying to battle like conservative cultural upbringing and finds these girls that do dance, and she finds her place amongst them through dance. Get this.
It won Best Film at Sundance.
Yeah, so it's won some awards, and I want to drive the question of there is coming-of-age stories. And I think the youth does come of age at a very youthful age. You know, you start to experience larger and more adult themed things, even when you're like fucking 10, 11, 12.
Especially with the internet.
Yeah. I remember being in school and just having these different backgrounds and questions, and people would talk about certain things. And I just like, what the fuck is going on? I have no idea what they're talking about, but they were well versed in it, regardless of where it came from, whether it be personal experience, abuse, what have you. But you do come of age at a very young age. The problem with this particular story, I think, is that is it true to that? And if so, why is Netflix doing the sexualization promotional material for these young girls?
Well, here's the thing, too, that we got to keep in mind, that this is a French film. That's a completely different culture and a completely different world. And they might come of age quicker than we do here. Actually, there's different parts of America where you come of age a lot quicker. And whether or not that's right or wrong, remains to be seen. But the film's not out.
Well, the portrayal of coming of age, does the imagery need to be over-sexualized to
convey that message? We had Kids growing up, right? You remember the movie Kids?
Right.
And it portrayed probably some of the worst scenes between violence and sexualization. But I remember being asked by an adult, and I was like, no, it's a pretty fucking accurate movie, you know?
Mm.
So it's we can't be putting restraints on art if the art is not exploitive.
Right.
So as long as if this is an actual representation or, you know, a pretty close artistic rendition, that's our history. That's our world. And it might help move the needle. Mm. You know what I mean? It might influence change or spark something that does. But if we're over here tripping on a poster, quite frankly, the poster's not that bad. It's not any different than any cheerleader commercial on ESPN or competition that they put up.
And you're totally right. But the thing to remember is, again, the context of the girl's age, which is around 11 years old.
Yeah.
And again, you're totally right. It's not nothing that we haven't seen with like the beauty pageant reality TV series. And
but that doesn't make it right.
Exactly. So again, you're right with the different cultural backgrounds in where their culture may be more comfortable with addressing this type of, I guess you could say, story, I suppose.
Yeah.
But again, I think my concern with Netflix is this promotional material, the girls in those revealing cheerleading outfits, is that the most accurate capture of the film itself?
True. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Is there a better possible representation for the entire movie that you could have put up in a poster to be less harmful?
Absolutely.
But you know, Netflix is kind of in a fucked up spot because if they pull it now, they're just reiterating the stereotype that the French back out of everything. And we all know that to be fucking true, right?
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting to point at the conversation because especially now you see the hashtag save the children fucking everywhere. And I'm getting like Kony 2012 vibes from hashtag save the children.
Are you? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not getting those same vibes, but I am. It's weird because there's a real thing there. And then Absolutely. There's definitely an exaggerated manipulation, you know?
Exactly.
And also there is something to speak about Netflix's marketing. I mean, how many of us click view title based on that image? And maybe the conversation should be about what types of people are going to be watching that movie based on that image.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because, yep. I mean, I think there's a part of Netflix where they don't even give you the, like, summary. It's just the movie starts. Like, under search, if you're picking one on the right, like, you go to a genre, they won't give you the breakdown there. And so, you know, 99% of the people that pick from there are picking based on that cover. And if they're picking those little girls, we need to talk about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the conversation needs to, you know, turn. And not so much addressing coming of age stories at a young age, which I think is an entirely legit conversation. But I think the over-sexualization of little girls or even little boys in the media, as you said, are exploitative. And that's definitely very concerning if that's the market that Netflix needs to tap into to be successful in America.
Oh, wait, dude. Yeah, I just had an idea. Uh-oh. What if, walk with me, follow me here. Just like this is all a ploy to keep Bailey entertained.
Yeah.
What if that is a child predator detector? And once you click it, it's like, it starts a movie, right? But then Chris Hansen walks into your room and he's like, what you see right here, sir.
There's a trace program automatically initiated as soon as you hit play.
Dude, that's it right there, dude. That's Riverside County Sheriff picking people up, bro.
That's funny, man.
And they're like, call it French because people in Riverside think French will do anything.
Oh, French just means classy, clearly.
Yeah, classy or maybe perverted.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good conversation piece because you have hashtag save the children coming from One Direction, and then you have everyone else who's kind of like skeptic film critics. And I just thought like, okay, well, where's the middle ground? What's the backstory? Because I mean, it's funny. I see more and more stories and I'm just like, okay, before I jump into this,
yeah,
I need some context.
Yes.
I need to know all angles of this before I just go like, oh, this is automatically all bad.
Yep. Absolutely, dude.
And I thought like, okay, Cuties, it's a movie about four girls, 11 years old. They're all in cheerleading outfits. I'm like, okay, I don't think Netflix is going to put out a pedophilia movie. So let's see what the hell is going on here. And then let's make it an educated guess as to what the fuck is happening.
Did you see that 365 Days movie? I mean, it wasn't pedophilia, but it was fucking hashtag Me Too for sure. I don't know how they got that movie out in this era. The 365 anyways, the guy like, face rapes a flight attendant, just grabs her face and I'm just like, how did you guys get this out right now? It was a terrible movie. Actually,
foreign language? Shout out,
what's up?
Was it foreign language?
No, it wasn't even that. Oh, wow. No, it was English, but it was terrible. He kidnaps a girl and says that he, like, to give him a year for her to fall in love. And she's like, okay, I guess. And, you know, like, I don't know. It was disgusting on all levels, including the treatment of women throughout that film was like, it was pretty fucking pathetic. It was like, it was if Donald Trump wrote his own biopic.
I wouldn't trust that at all.
Yeah, he's like a handsome, long-haired, Middle Eastern-looking dude. All the girls are sucking his dick. He's just grabbing him by the pussy, you know? And then, like, that's, I guess that's
all in love with me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be anything towards the truth. Like, I don't even think he grew up in New York. It's just like, this is how my life went. He wrote it and make it a film. By the way, everybody sucks my dick the whole movie.
That's intense. Sounds like
yeah, so they are definitely doing some exotic things over there, but I hope it stops at, you know,
I guess 21. In the age of content, you just need content. Just give me content. You got to put up content. Oh, Netflix just absorbs that shit, man.
They do.
They just post anything.
There's so much. I don't know if you ever get to go to New York. New Yorkers can agree. Garbage day is fucking repulsive because, you know, they all got those towers that go up and they have garbage chutes. And if you're walking the streets that night before garbage comes to pick up, it's just garbage all around Manhattan, dude. The rats have a field day. That's Netflix now. It's got so much garbage.
It's true, you know, because I find myself just scrolling endlessly through Netflix. Yeah. Like, fuck, man, I can't find anything that looks of interest.
When you go on to like find more context for these stories and stuff, do you ever look up the authors of the articles?
Not so much the authors, but I try to find multiple articles to see if I can find either more information or alternative angles.
Yeah, so I'm always looking for opposing views, but my favorite thing is also to go to the author's Twitter. And you can tell like when they got that job or when they started scrubbing their Twitter, because perspectives change immediately. And then you just see the stuff that they say or their angles that they take. And you're like, oh, well, this person would write that. Like now I can understand. I don't understand their perspective as if it was mine, but I can understand how they developed that perspective because obviously somebody's uncle did something to her growing up. Hmm. Shit like that.
Right. Well, in my search for more context, I came across another article. Okay. The headline was 19 black families purchase over 96 acres of land in Toomsboro, Georgia.
All right.
And I thought, okay, cool. And like, so I looked at the article, find out what exactly are they planning to do with it. And their intent is to build their own black municipality.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, that's fantastic. That's really great, you know, idea. I mean,
Killer Mike.
The Watchmen. Well, the Killer Mike, too. The Watchmen, they did that episode on Black Wall Street and like how it got bombed and all that shit. So I was like, cool. So, like, we're talking about, you know, what if we had a black, you know, city or minority-owned city or minority was the majority, and they were able to control how the banks operated, how the cops operated, so on and so forth. They had their own municipality. I was like, that's a really great idea. That's a great initiative. I want to learn more about it. So as I tried to learn more about this purchase, I couldn't find anything.
Really?
It was fucking astounding. I couldn't believe it. I would think 19 black families purchasing 96 acres in Georgia to build their own black city. That'd be kind of big news, you know?
Or maybe
it's almost like Tyler Perry when he built his own black studio.
Yeah, maybe they're scrubbing the news of it. They don't want too much attention yet. Maybe they want to get it underway before people start showing up.
That's what I'm thinking as potentially as well. Maybe they didn't have enough PR. They didn't have good PR. They didn't want PR.
But yeah. Even
then, I think a story of this, you know, significance, you're going to get publicity whether you want it or not. I mean, in this day and age with racial inequality on the forefront of headlines, I think something like this would be something that would pick up pretty quickly. So as I started to look into it a little bit more, I learned that, back in like April or June, April, May or June, they started to really advertise the fact that this small town in Georgia was for sale. That was the headlines. Toomsboro in Georgia for sale. So everyone was talking about like, oh, you can buy your own town. It's only for like, you know, a little over $1 million or just under $2 million.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a nice.
I think I remember us talking about this. I feel like we did say something about a town for sale once, but.
Yeah. So very well could be. But that's all I could find was that the fact that there was the town for sale. So doing a little bit more research, I found out that there is a guy out there named Bumgardner, and he owns property in that particular town, he owns about 30 different pieces of property, pieces of land. So stores, houses, what have you.
Tell me Bumgarner is the guy from the old I Love Lucy episode when they check into the hotel and he's like, I'm the mayor. And then he takes off the hat and he's like, I'm the janitor. And he takes off the hat and he's like, I'm the town clerk. And he takes off, and he's like the town, the sheriff, everything. That's Bumgarner in Georgia.
I can pretty much see this guy being that exact guy.
Yeah.
But now he's looking to sell all that property. So that's where they were saying like, oh, this whole town in Georgia is pretty much for sale. But the amount of acreage that was for sale, which is about 40 to 50 acres, does not equate to what was purchased, which is about 96 acres of land in this particular municipality. So I just found it really fascinating that either they're trying to, you know, broom this under the rug. Broom. Wow.
Yeah. Sweep.
Sweep. Thank you.
Got you. I know how to work.
They're trying to sweep this under the rug, or again, they don't want publicity, didn't get publicity. It's really fascinating that I just, regarding a black purchase of this magnitude with this kind of intent, didn't get more headlines.
Well, I've kind of found out that, especially if it's already not a grossly publicized story, it's pretty easy to scrub the internet. There's a lot of people who are pretty good at it. And I would imagine that if you have this intent to spend what's a great chunk of money in Georgia, you know, $2 million is a lot of money anywhere, but definitely out there. And if 20 families came together to do it, I'm sure they have a plan. And they may not want the purity of it tainted just yet. They might want to get it set. There's probably a lot of shit that they want to get done. And don't forget, a municipality is a municipality. And we do live in a representative democracy. And you will get people to vote. So they may want to handle an election down home before people start to move in and mess with that setup.
True.
Did you ever see the Netflix documentary about the guy in Oregon, like the Indian Asian, not Native American Indian, prophet guy? And he was like shipping in homeless people from all over the Western seaboard because he wanted to sway elections. But it was Wild Wild West is what it was called. And then they started like poisoning people in restaurants and shit like that.
I didn't finish the series.
Okay. So, but that was one of his tactics. He was getting shut down by the local government. So he just moved in because they had this huge compound. So he just moved in a ton. It was like a yoga based retreat, but people ended up staying there. And he just moved in a whole bunch of homeless people to fuck up elections. And of course the homeless people were homeless before. Now they live in a nice cabin. He feeds them. So they all voted for the people that he wanted. So, I mean, I'm sure there's a million reasons why they didn't publish it, but I hope that it works out. And I hope we get great news about it as time goes on. And I hope it doesn't turn into Chaz, because those hippies done fucked that shit up.
You're totally right. I love the initiative. I love where it's all going. But ultimately, it just comes down to execution. Hopefully they can pull it off.
Right.
Yep, absolutely. Someone who's not pulling off what they had planned to do with their intent is a China restaurant.
All right.
There was a restaurant in China, and they tried to coincide with the president's request for the country. So let me back up to the president's request. Okay. President Xi Jinping urged the nation to stop wasting food.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. A restaurant in China.
Yeah.
Not
a Chinese restaurant.
You just said the most racist way to say a Chinese restaurant. You're like, this China restaurant. I was like, wait, are you going to become a Republican? Sorry.
An actual restaurant in China.
When you said the president's request, and then you said ping pong, the guy you said, I was like, I thought you were talking about Trump's request for a China restaurant. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go back. Sorry.
President Xi Jinping, all good, urged the nation to stop wasting food, urging the nation of China to stop wasting food. Serious flooding has led to a rise in food prices. So he's looking to, you know, everyone to do their part to help out stabilize the country. So there is a restaurant in China that they asked their patrons before entering the restaurant to stand on a scale and be weighed.
Oh.
Scanning their data into an app that recommended food choices based on their weight and the dish's calorific value.
Wow.
Or caloric. Yeah, calorific. That's caloric. Caloric value. So it didn't go well. People did not like being weighed, as it turned out. And now they had to do an about face, and now they're apologizing to all of their patrons saying, yeah, our bad.
So they test ran the program at one restaurant? It was like a pilot?
No, this was just a particular restaurant doing it upon their own initiative.
Oh, okay, so I thought the president was trying to enforce something.
No, he just said, like, here's a suggestion, help us out, accomplish this. So this restaurant was like, oh, yeah, we can do that. This is how we're going to help.
Yeah, the amount of people that China has is insane. Yeah. The way to keep it up is, it's crazy. I actually just was watching a little, like, half-hour documentary on China and its development over the past 30 years on Netflix. They've used more concrete in 10 years than America used in 200 years. Like, wow. Building shit and developing. But that's also what comes with, being in a communist nation, there's no limit to labor. They have to keep people working, so they actually have them building things that they're not using yet.
Yeah, so that happened too.
So what's going on with that is they're, and they even got population restraints, right? Aren't you only allowed so many kids or something like that?
They had a one-child policy, but that ended, I think, a few years ago.
Sounds like they need to turn that motherfucker back on, because
it's a little much.
What I like about this setup, though, is, does it limit the amount of times you can go to a restaurant? Because if you're going to feed me less, I'm just going to go out and go to the next restaurant again, and they could do the same scale and the same setup.
Well, it was just one restaurant. One bad call.
Sounds like they were testing it out. Not making a joke.
Can you imagine the uproar of, like, a home down buffet weighing people before they come inside?
Hey, make no mistake, cousin. Buffets are not coming back, bro.
Oh, I don't see that happening at all. Yeah.
I don't see that happening at all. There's a serious economist saying that New York is never going to come back.
I read that article.
Can you imagine major cities just being abandoned here in America? Like what would the fallout be?
I think it would be really good. I mean, you have a lot of opportunities that are in, not necessarily undeveloped land, but not as populous.
Yeah.
And if you kind of spread that out a little bit, it's good.
I mean, but those people don't want that.
What?
The people that live in those areas don't want that development.
Well, of course not. Nobody wants to share their land.
Yeah.
But it's not about what the fuck you want. It's about what's best for the country.
No, I know. But like, you ever hear Texans talk about like Californians moving over?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's people in Idaho that say, like, stop talking about how good it is here. Like, we like it spaced out.
I mean, yeah. Well, you say the same thing about Los Angeles. Stop coming to L.A. Your dreams are not going to come true. Stay the fuck over where you are.
Yeah, everybody has the internet now. Do it from home. Yeah. Have you seen – you know how New York was built on an old city? Like, there's actually an undercity in New York?
Yeah, I heard about that.
What if we do that again, but now it's like 80 stories up because we just went too high?
And we could just be like the Jetsons, man, and just start building upwards, right?
Yeah. Did you hear about North Korea's food shortage? Not making a joke.
Isn't that how it's always been?
Kim Jong-un he's ordered a group to go in and seize family pets for meat production. That's not a joke, as bullshit as it sounds, and especially coming out of my mouth. That's a real thing happening right now. And did you know that his city, Pyongyang, I think it's called, something like that. Yep. I'm not being racist again. Not racist, by the way, but I'm part-time bigot. And hours are between recording. So, anyways, Pyongyang, they're responsible for 3% of the Hennessy orders that go out internationally.
Oh, wow.
So he orders 3% of the Hennessy in the world, and he's collecting fucking Bailey's across his country to make dinner plates.
Bailey's and Hennessy.
Bailey's, yeah. My Bailey, not even that Bailey.
Well, I mean, you're going to need all the Hennessy you can get to make it through life in that country. So,
by the way, I found the name of our next St. Patrick's Day party.
I'm with it.
Bailey's and Hennessy, homie. You know what's funny?
Be mascot. I'm with it.
We have restaurants in America that take the opposite approach. There is that Heart Attack Grill on Fremont Street in Las Vegas. And if you weigh 300, you get to eat for free, bro.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they have a giant scale outside. Whole families get on it and, like, take a picture. But if you get on that scale and you're 300 plus, you get to eat for free, baby. And actually, we reported on it. Remember a guy had a heart attack at Heart Attack Grill?
I remember you discussing it, yeah.
But I like my word choice. I said we reported on it. We're pretty much reporters.
Whatever, man. I said brush under the rug, so whatever.
You said broom, but brush sounds worse. I spit my drink out right now. You got me.
Worth it. No, I've not heard about that, but I mean, fuck life. I mean, that's Korea, dude. Yeah.
Shit. Quick question, brother.
Yo,
is there anything more elusive than a sought out charging base?
Anything more elusive?
Yeah, you know those
little charging base.
Yeah, you know those charger boxes.
Like the, what do you mean boxes?
The one that goes into the wall, the actual little base.
I have tons of those.
Yeah. Okay. I thought. Oh, but you only have one kid. I have three sons. Oh, okay. All of them have multiple devices.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have tons of them, but when we're looking for one, fucking forget about it, dude.
Ah, it's like the police.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Not going to answer. No one answers.
Right on. I got one more article that I thought was really fun.
Let's hear it.
So, every month for 2020 has kind of been a thing, right? We had the murder hornets. We had the Australian wildfires. I think we're all in agreement that Kanye 2020 was the July heart attack, right?
All right.
What do you think it's going to be for August?
You know what? I did my 2020 in one day last week in Baker, so I don't even give a fuck what it is now.
So
what is it?
I'm going to say August is going to the mutant mosquitoes.
You know what? I'm going to agree. Now tell me what the mutant mosquitoes are.
And this is an article headline being known as the Jurassic Park experiment. So U.S. authorities have approved a plan to release more than, 750 million genetically modified mosquitoes.
Tell me they have the antivirus. Do they got the antivirus?
They're going to spread them across the Florida Keys, despite objections, understandably, from local residents.
Dude, have we not researched history at all? This never works.
Have they seen Jurassic Park? This is what happens. Genetically modified.
Like Minnesota or something, they had like a problem with an animal, with like foxes. So they released wolves. And then wolves are eating cattle. And they're like, fuck, what kills wolves? Nothing. Nothing kills wolves.
So for those listening, that's again 750 million genetically modified mosquitoes. Then, and they're all male. So this is the thing. And they're called OX5034. That's a cool name, right? Not, you know, because if you're gonna name a male mosquito, why not that?
Yeah, that's I'm pretty sure that's my license plate in the El Camino, by the way.
They've been created to produce female offspring that die at larval stage before they grow big enough to spread disease and bite. So in essence, if you've ever been bit by a mosquito, it's always a female mosquito. Male mosquitoes don't bite. The female.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like real life, like regular women.
So the male mosquitoes that are genetically modified are going to mate with the females. And when they do, the offspring, the female offspring, are just going to die off. So we're just going to live with nothing but male mosquitoes.
That don't bite.
Don't bite you. So the mosquitoes will only be released in the Florida Keys in 2020, but will be expanded into Texas in 2021 after the EPA granted the company's request for an experimental use permit. All bad.
Alex Jones and Southern pastors across the country are going to love this.
The project will be first of its kind in the U.S., but follows on from a similar trial in Brazil in 2016, where researchers there recorded a decline in disease-carrying mosquitoes and found they did not cause harm to other insects. So it sounds like it actually works. But I don't know, man. It just takes time to look. As Jurassic Park said, life finds a way.
There's only one thing that we should copy from Brazil, and that's jiu-jitsu. They fail at everything the fuck else. So like, I don't know if you remember when Alex Jones threw a fit, said that they're making frogs gay.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
They're making the frogs gay! That's what they're going to do with these mosquitoes, because what they're going to say is, we're eliminating the female mosquito, forcing the Democrats' homosexuality on mosquitoes. That's what they're going to be yelling across the board. But this is what I will say, is anytime there's a void, something worse arises to take that position, whether it's, you know, like mafia or mosquito. I'm excited to see what's going to take over biting people through air in Florida over the next couple of years.
Well, that's August 2020. So whatever's going to take over will probably be September. So gearing up.
We saw a fire tornado in our hell weekend. Yeah. And that was, I thought that was going to be the August thing. I thought they were going to sprout up everywhere. But, you know, it makes sense how they happen. You know, it's so hot. And if the cold air drops low enough overnight, it's going to fucking mix. And the fire just wants a free ride.
Yeah, man. These fires are fucking crazy, dude.
It is crazy, dude.
Crazy. So that's pretty much it for my full-blown articles.
All right.
We can go into last-minute newsmakers, or we can go into Let's Get Deep, or To Be or Not to Be.
Well, since I don't know the topics, I want you to pick the funnest one.
I'm going to say To Be or Not to Be.
That's what it is, then.
To Be or Not to Be. Never take your friend's last beer.
Yeah.
We can all agree on that? Is that something?
Okay. Well, yeah.
What if they say, mi casa es su casa? Well, if it's mi casa, I'm taking the last beer.
Yeah, that's true. But reason that's a statement is because mi casa es mi casa. And I'm telling you that in case you have to go piss. Go to the bathroom. You don't have to tell me. But it's not about the beers in the fridge. No, you know what? Like, I got friends that are like...
Don't take my last beer. Don't fuck my wife.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I guess so, right? It's really on them. I don't think you should take the last anything. Like, you shouldn't really ever grab the last anything if it's not your place, you know?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. I can never find myself to do that.
Actually, kind of an asshole if there's one beer left and you're like, hey, can I get this? Especially if you guys been drinking.
Yeah.
I guess it's not a to be if the last beer is the first beer. I think if it's the first beer being drank, you're like, hey, bro, can I have this beer? It's the last one. Oh, that would be even shittier, right? You don't tell them it's the last one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, get me one too. And you're like, oh, well, and you lick it. Sorry, bro, it's the last one.
After you finish taking a swig, oh, this was the last one, bro.
You blow your nose in it. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely to be. You shouldn't take the last anything at anyone's house.
Yeah, even if it's a party, I still wouldn't do it. Like, the host bought everything for us to consume. I still hesitate. Like, it's the last one. I'm good. Do I really need it? I'm good. Or be even a better friend. Like, hey, man, this is your last beer. We should go on a beer run.
Yeah, unless you've been drinking, get an Uber, which we can't get in California anymore.
But it's actually they've continued.
Yeah, I saw that. A judge stopped it. Thanks for killing the joke, bro. But I would say at a party, I might take the last beer because I can drink it fast enough to just camouflage in. Like, oh, who got the last one? Mine's already almost done, so it wasn't me, you know?
It wasn't me, but that guy's an asshole, though, for real.
I had a to be or not to be.
Oh, hit me with it.
All right. Calling someone an asshole who's not an asshole.
Calling someone an asshole who's not an asshole. Provide me a real life situation in which this would occur.
Okay. So if you call someone an asshole, if they're truly an asshole, it's irrelevant to them that you called them an asshole. They don't give a shit. Right? Okay. They're like, I'm an asshole. It doesn't fucking matter. But if you're calling someone an asshole just to be mean, like you're being the mean one, and you want to be like, you're a fucking asshole. You're the asshole.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, you're saying mean shit on purpose. Like, that's a pretty shitty thing.
Yeah, yeah. You can't call me an asshole if you're being the asshole.
Yeah. So, like, to be or not to be calling someone an asshole, because it's really all either you're telling people you're an asshole by calling someone who's not an asshole an asshole, or you're wasting your breath by calling someone an asshole who doesn't fucking give a shit because they're an asshole.
Or in the woman equivalent, I guess it'll be calling them a bitch, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Bitch has changed over the past couple of years, right? Like, it's like they're allowed to say it, but we're not allowed to say it. Right? It's like the N-word. Like, they could say it. It's in them, their culture. But we can't say it. Have you called a woman a B-word lately?
Not lately. I don't surround myself with that kind of negativity.
I find it everywhere I go, bro.
I was going to say, do you find your masculinity questioned if someone calls you a bitch?
You know what? Time and place. I was going to say that when I grew up, that was a heavy thing. That if you called a man a bitch, he had to do something. You ain't down or you're a bitch. Those two things, you can get someone to jump off the side of a building.
You know, I have some great stories resulting from a you ain't down.
So. Yeah, you're right. Hey, babe, you want to go to Vegas tomorrow? I don't know. The Bieber's acting kind of weird. You ain't down. Get in.
Get in. From.
Now we're at Bieber, 1 a.m, 110 degrees. No, yeah. I don't know, man. Like I said, it's time and place. And I feel like the person calling you the bitch, like, they know when they can and can't use it. If someone calls me a bitch, it's a privacy of my own home, it's whatever. But if we're, like, hanging out with homies that I did time with, and you call me a bitch, and you know how I know them, like, yeah. You're forcing me on you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, I don't feel it, like, on my masculinity, but, you know, I'm King Gay, so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. True that. In my family, we use the term shasha.
What's that mean?
I think way back when it took on more like a gay slur. Uh-huh.
Okay.
You're being shasha. But I think it's taken on a new version of meaning where it's just like you're just being, the best term I could say is you're being a little bitch.
Yeah.
You're just not fulfilling your abilities, I guess you could say, or you're just being scared for no reason, or you're being irresponsible for no reason, or stuff of that nature.
You know, I had a friend go off on, like, why do people call each other pussies? Don't they know how resilient pussies are, how strong pussies are, what pussies do, blah, blah, blah. And she just went on for 5 minutes. Total feminist, you know, really, really let it rain.
Wasn't that a Betty White quote?
Well, I don't know that, but at the end, it was like, I think the reference is to pussy cats who are afraid of everything. So it's like, don't be a pussy. Cat. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Like, it's just like, really? And I'm like, I'm pretty fucking sure. She's like, oh man, I've been saying that for a long time. I'm like, well, you know, no one takes you seriously.
Yeah. I think that came from Betty White, where she, one of her jokes was something about being called a pussy and they're just so strong because they take a pounding or some take a beating or something like that.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the reference is older than us calling pussies vaginas.
Yeah.
I mean, vaginas, pussy. Scratch that. Reverse it.
mean words tonight, man. Not good. Words. Whatever.
Palabra! Are we on to the final part of our show?
Just about. We have about a few minutes left, or we can keep going. Like I said, we have some last-minute headlines as far as, like, we could talk about the DNC. We could talk about the Postal Service, distance learning. The generic stuff everyone else is talking about, but, you know, whatever.
You got a fun take on the DNC?
I mean,
positive energy?
Positive energy, just in the sense that, you know, I don't want to get into the politics. I just wanted to address the virtual aspect. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
It felt more more personal with, like, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. They were just, like, talking to the voter, not an arena speech.
Yeah.
But addressing the voter in that sense. I thought that was really fascinating. And if anything, more pressure to deliver.
That couple, they can fucking speak. And I'm not trying to do, like, the white people compliment African-Americans by saying they're well-spoken. I'm talking about public speeches.
Oh, yeah.
They can fucking stand and deliver, dude.
Yeah.
What I love. So I'm telling you, dude, I think Barack is what made me gay. Nat was going down on me the other day. We had no result. I put on a Barack speech on YouTube. Boom! All over her face, bro.
That's funny.
I love to see Barack speak, dude. When, anytime he gets on stage, like, I love it. You know, someone sent me a clip of when he went to Michigan where the shit water is.
Oh, Flint.
Thanks. And he was like mid-speech, like, excuse me, can I get some water? I need a water. And they had this white girl bring him out a glass of water. He's like, delicious. And everybody in the crowd died. Like, they all lost him. Or he lost them all, that whole room, trying to pull a stunt.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. That was like, it hurt my feelings, dude. The first man that I ever fell in love with, you know, even before my father. And to see that stunt. But I do love to see him do a speech. I saw AOC endorse Bernie. Does she know he's not up for election? Or
it was just what do you call it? Not it's normal.
Yeah,
the circumstance for them to endorse. So here's how it works. So if in a particular candidate crosses a threshold of delegates, they get a nomination during the convention.
Oh, and okay.
Because Bernie came in a close second, and he did cross that threshold. He gets an official nomination. So
I thought, I was like, shit, if I ever get a chance to speak at the DNC, I'm going to endorse JFK. He's my favorite Democrat of all time. Because yeah. I didn't know he endorsed people that don't count.
Yeah, and I saw that too. There was a lot of headlines too about it. Like, oh, AOC used her time to endorse Bernie. And I was like, what the fuck? So what I read about- up. I read up on it. And I was like, oh, they took it totally out of context. It was total bullshit. The media totally fucked me. Her on that one.
They got me, and I pride myself on trying to catch multiple angles.
Yeah, no, the media fucked up on that one for sure.
What about the Republican who shit on AOC at the DNC?
I didn't hear about that.
They had a Republican speaker. Fuck, I don't know. Kusik? The food's so nice, they named it twice. Yeah. yeah, I guess he spoke, and he took time to in his speech to take shots at AOC. You know, I kind of felt like I'm seeing the split in the Democratic Party. Not that I want to see, but that is refreshing, because I feel like there's true progressives in there that are being held back by the leadership of the DNC. And I just can't wait for that leadership to like expire. And I hope that along the way, these progressives don't get broken down by the system or flushed out, you know, even worse.
Yeah, I totally agree as well. I think so, as long as, you know, we start to see that type of progression, it'll be very fruitful. But
yeah,
we shall see.
It was refreshing and strenuous at the same time. If we're ready for it, I got, you know what?
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, as far as the politics go, I know people are looking forward to our discussion about the candidates and policies and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking we're probably going to do that closer to the end of September, October, so it's near the election, and we have time to really take in everything. I know, because I know both of us can speak to it for days.
Yeah, it'd be great. But, and
it'll be a bonus episode for sure.
Definitely. I'm stoked about it.
Word. You know what's this week, just because I've been just melting. Not like Baker melting, but melting.
Yeah, I got a couple because when I'm fried is when I write best.
Okay.
So you know what?
What?
If your horn honks when you press the alarm to lock your doors, if you do it, you know, when people walk away, they go, burp, burp.
Yeah.
If you do it more than twice, you're an asshole.
Oh, I do it like multiple times. I was waiting for you to say that. I do. So as I'm walking away, I'll click the lock button, especially on Daisy's car. She has the beep feature. I used to, but I don't anymore.
If it's a beep, that's not that bad. But we're eating at a patio today.
Yeah.
And some parked right up on the patio. It was a real patio. It wasn't a parking lot diner. Like, I refused to do that. This was a nice patio. Trees everywhere. But he parks right up to where we are. He's like, ar, 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 and he's in front of us. It's like the way into the patio is where I'm facing, and his car is to the left of me. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like,
Now, my mom's telling me a place. Like, I'll be like in the middle of a fucking like shopping center. And as I'm walking away, I'm just like, beep, 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 beep. And I just wait until Daisy gives me the eyes of like, really? And I go, yes,
beep. You're being an asshole.
I think it's hilarious. But yes, continue.
All right. I got, you know what? You know what?
What?
If you're going to date a Latina, there's a couple things you should know.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a long list of things you should know.
One, they call everything an investment. They're like, you know, we should invest in In-N-Out later. And you're like, it's not a publicly traded company. Like, no, I can't eat hamburgers in public. You're like, oh, you mean buy In-N-Out. Like, that's not an investment. We should invest in a new blanket. Like, we're not investing in blankets. You're just buying the fucking blanket.
That's not an investment.
Number two, they're crazy as fuck, but predictable. Therefore, the biggest knife in your kitchen should be one of those Halloween plastic toys.
And the play knives that like it stabs you, but it just goes into the handle.
Yeah. So if the biggest knife in your kitchen is a toy, when she goes for it, you already know which one she's going for because it's the biggest one.
That's true.
She's crazy enough to stab you, but she's predictable. She's not going to stab you with anything little. Make the biggest knife a toy. It'll save you a ton of money on stitches.
That's funny.
All right. Number three.
Yes.
Whatever they say they don't do sexually or have never done, they can't wait to show you.
Oh, yeah. That's a total lie.
They still make those. I don't suck dick. She can't wait.
That's true.
She can't wait to show you how good she is at it, dude.
Daisy can't hear, but she's listening in right now. She thinks it's funny. She doesn't know what's going on, but I'll tell her later. It's funny. Continue.
Number four is don't say this bit till you finish. Oh, shit. I never finished writing it.
Well, points for following the prompter. Good job.
Right? I got one more. All right. I got one more. You know what?
Hit it.
All right, dude. I know I've gone off on Manscaped before.
Yep.
The pubic shavers.
Yep.
Your fucking precious 28-year-old children. All right? That's the one place you should keep your local Nick.
Wait, what?
on your nuts. These 28-year-old children that have to use specific fucking devices because they don't want to nick their nuts to shave their pubic region.
Got you.
Okay? First of all, you should definitely keep your local Nick on your nuts. Shout out to Gay Nick, who loves me. Jason, you're still my main whenever I switch teams. You're the first one. Nick, you get second shot. Basically, but you know what the fuck your grandpa used to shave his nuts with? Your fucking grandma's grin, all right? And don't disrespect my family by thinking that I shave my nuts with my wife's, but she definitely picks up the stragglers. You know, she gets them on the way out.
Right on. That's commitment right there. That's love.
Exactly, dude. Look, if there's ever a place to be guys, to be the guy, to be a guy, is when you're with the guys or fixing your guys. All right? Balance is balance for a reason. And there's way too tolerant of obvious hypocrisy. I don't even know. I'll work on this later.
Okay.
I shouldn't go through with it. Leave up to this on the show. Yeah, don't edit it, but it gets pretty bad.
Doing good. We're going to revisit it.
I'll proofread it. I might just text it to you.
Okay, cool. I'm looking forward to it. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking your Facebook page. Liking your Facebook page. Our Facebook page.
Ours.
And following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and want to be a short sponsor, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance and we'll shout out whatever it is you want us to shout out. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine and that's the Main Man Motion and we'll see y'all next week.
That's right, Lois Lane.